Let's open our Bibles this evening in the book of John's Gospel, and the chapter number 3. That's John's Gospel, chapter 3, a familiar passage of God's Word we want to turn to this evening. And we pray the Spirit of God will just open our hearts to just receive what God is going to say to our hearts this evening through His precious and infallible Word. That's John's Gospel, and the 3rd chapter, commencing to read at verse number 14. It says in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee this evening for thy precious word. And I pray that as we open the scriptures now and as we gather round thy word, that thou wilt speak to all of our hearts. We thank thee, we praise thee, it's the entrance of thy word that giveth light. And I pray that thy word will get into hearts tonight. Oh, that the light of thy word will shine in to the dark recesses of the hearts of everyone that's gathered here, especially for those who are not seeing. Oh, may thy word shine into their hearts, Lord, tonight. And Lord, just show the dark crevices of their hearts and the Lord, the depravity of their heart, even before thee, a righteous and a holy God. We pray that thou wilt shine thy word into our hearts of those who are saved, that we might be willing, Lord, to have thy word search us. As the psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." And so, Lord, we ask of thee for thy blessing upon us now. We think of those that would love to be here tonight. We pray in the Savior's name that thou wilt touch them, those that are laid aside, those that need that touch from thee. Oh, my God, I pray that thou wilt come, that thou wilt, Lord, heal them and answer our prayer for them. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now, of course, you and I know that John 3:16 is the most familiar verse in God's Word. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But it's the next verse that I want us to look at tonight, and just one little word in it. It says, "For God," verse 17, "for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him," listen to this, "might be saved. For God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world." Now, friend, listen. God did not have to send a Son into the world to condemn the world. Why? Because the world was already condemned. That's why. He didn't have to send the Lord Jesus Christ into this world to condemn the world, because the world was already condemned. But the Word of God says, why did God send his Son? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ step out of the glories of heaven and step down into the sin-cursed scene of time? And we've got the answer there in verse number 17. "But that the world through him, might be saved." I want us just to take that last word, just the very last word, "that the world through him might be" what? Saved. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight, and what I want to minister to this meeting, because I am absolutely convinced that there are multitudes across this province, after all the years of preaching, and even sitting perhaps even in this church after the years of preaching, and friend, you've never grasped the reality of what it is to be saved. And so it says, "God sent a Son into this world that the world through him might be saved." Now, I'm absolutely astounded why that preachers today are afraid of the word "saved."
seems to be that people will talk about, you know, oh, there's someone and they're good living. Now, friend, let me tell you this. It's not their good living. It's not their good living, because that is the emphasis upon their goodness in their living. But the man of himself is not good of himself. And the Bible tells us of ourselves, there is no goodness in us. It's not, people talk about making a commitment. Let me tell you, my friend, over the years that I have had the opportunity of ministering here, there have been people in all of those years that I've seen married and they've committed themselves the one to the other. And friend, the tragedy is this. If you were to search the records today, well, what about their commitment? Their commitment came quickly to an end. You see, that's the emphasis upon our commitment to the Lord. Let me tell you, my dear friend, salvation is not our commitment to Him. Salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end. And we have got to realize tonight, if you and I are going to be saved, it is salvation which is of Him. And thank God the Lord Jesus Christ can change men and women's heart, because the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now I say that I can't understand why the pulpits today are afraid of talking about being saved. Because friend, listen, it's everywhere in this book. It's everywhere. Paul said this. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved. Unto us which are saved. That's the word, isn't it? It is the power of God. In that same chapter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, it says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Listen to this. What to do? It pleased God that through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. To save them. To save them. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall make a little commitment. No, friend, listen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whenever the Philippian jailer came running out, and my, he was in the darkness, and he brought Paul and Silas out, he ran into them, and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And of course, he wasn't talking about his life being saved, it was his soul, because they said unto him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so this is everywhere in this book. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, for by grace are ye, what? Saved. By grace are you saved. Titus 3, verse 5 says, according to his mercy, he saved us. John chapter 5, verse 34, but these things I say unto you, that ye might be saved. There it is again. Friend, over and over again in this book, the Lord Jesus said in John's Gospel chapter 10, verse 9, a very familiar chapter, Jesus says, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now tell me, friend, if that's what the whole substance of the book is, and that's what the book from Genesis to Revelation is about, friend, it is God's salvation. How that God saves man, and how that God saves woman. Well, then what are preachers preaching if they're not preaching about salvation? They're not preaching the book. They're not preaching. They can preach the philosophies of man. They can preach about all these other things, friend. But I want to tell you this. The very substance and essence of this book is about God's salvation. Where God said in Isaiah 45, 22, look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And so we find in this verse, it says, God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, I'm going to ask you just a few questions, first of all. I remember when I was taught, when I was looking at things, well, I could ask different questions, who, why, what, how, and with what result. And I just want us to take us just a very simple thing. For example, who needs to be saved? Who needs to be saved? Now, the Word of God tells me in Romans chapter 3, it says there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, the question is, saved from what? Saved from what? He said that he sent a son into the world that the world through him might be saved. But saved from what? Well, the answer is given in Matthew's Gospel chapter 1. Verse number 21, it says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people, here it is, from their sins. So whenever we talk about salvation, friend, we're talking about saved from sin. Saved from sin. Salvation from sin. So then, who needs to be saved? Well, the Word of God says in Romans chapter 3, 22, there's no difference. And then goes on to say this, verse 23, for all have sinned. Notice, all have sinned. So when we talk about saved from sin, friend, that means everybody. Now, in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says this, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Now, listen. By one man. Who are they talking about? Adam. It takes you back to Genesis. By one man, sin entered into this world. And my friend Adam was in the Garden of Eden. And I want to tell you this. There, our first parents were there. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And the Word of God tells us that Adam sinned against God. It was a deliberate rebellion against the God of heaven. God says, thou shalt not eat of that tree. And Adam did. It was a blatant defiance. It was a blatant rebellion. Adam was a rebel against God. And my friend Adam thought he could do what he wanted to do. It was rebellion. But the Bible tells us, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. But that doesn't stop there. Death passed upon all men for all of sin. Now listen, it's so easy to talk about Adam's sin. But I want to tell you, my friend, you're not going to hell because of Adam's sin. You're going to hell because of your sin. It is so easy today to point the finger at somebody else and talk about their sin. But friend, let me tell you, the psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. And the Word of God says, death passed upon all men. Why? Because all have sinned. And so there's not one tonight in this meeting. There's not one of themselves, friend, has a pretty heart. In actual fact, the Word of God is very clear about that. In Jeremiah chapter 17, it says, the heart of man, that's every one of us, preachers included, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You couldn't imagine it. You couldn't understand just how desperately wicked your heart and mine is because of our sinful nature. We are born in sin, the Bible says. We are shapen in iniquity. We are sinners by nature. We are sinners by practice. And the heart is deceitful. You see, it says if we say we have no sin, 1 John chapter 1. Listen to this. We deceive ourselves. And if there's someone here tonight and say, well, listen, whenever it talks about salvation, I don't need that. And why do you not need it? Because I'm not a sinner. Well, the Word of God says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Friend, listen, we're lying. A man who says that I don't need salvation, who needs salvation? Not me, preacher. I do not need salvation because I am not a sinner, because I have not sinned. And the Word of God says, you're a liar. It's as blunt as that. He says, the truth's not in you. You are a stranger to the truth because God says, all have sinned. The Word of God tells us in Isaiah that indeed all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. So when we ask the question, who needs salvation, friend? The answer is everybody. Everybody. because all are sinners. But then the second question is this: why do we need salvation? Why do we really need salvation? Listen, friend, do you realize how serious sin is? And the serious consequences of your sin. Do you remember God said to Adam way back in chapter 2, of verse 17 of chapter 2 in the book of Genesis, God says, the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. And friend, let me tell you, that day spiritually Adam died. Now something else happened. Not only did he die spiritually that day, but friend, let me tell you this, that day also he died physically in a certain sense, because the word of God says, one day in the sight of God is 1,000 years. And if you look at Adam's life, he did not live as it was in his day in the sight of God. So God's word was absolutely fulfilled. That day, spiritually he died. He was separated because of a sin. The Bible tells us, if you look in Genesis, it tells us that God drove out the man in chapter 3. In other words, because of Adam's sin, he was driven out of the garden. And God put the flaming cherubims to keep the way of the tree of life. His sin had a price. And then the word of God is very clear about this. The word of God tells me in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the wonderful thing about this, you notice in that verse there's two things. On the one hand there's wages, and the other hand there's gift. You know what wages are? Wages is what you work for. You get a wage at the end of the week. It used to be, now it's the end of the month. And maybe you think it's not the proper wage. You're not given a wage for what you do. Friend, let me tell you this. Yes, man might not give you the proper wage, but I'll guarantee you something. God will give you the proper wage. It'll be the proper payment. And the word of God says the wages of sin is death. And it is separation from God. And Isaiah chapter 59 says, your sin, not somebody else's. Don't look at the person beside you. Let it, the Spirit of God stop with you tonight. It says, your sin, your transgressions have separated between you and God. There's a barrier between you and God tonight. And dear unsaved person, there is a barrier. You know what it is? It's your sin. And your sin is separating between you and God, because the wages of your sin. And at the end of the journey, friend, you'll get your wages. If you want your sin, then you'll take the price of your sin. You'll get the wages, the due reward. The word of God tells me that's hell for all eternity. Eternally separated from God in the blackness and darkness of hell forever. In the fires of a lost eternity. Listen, friend. The fire that never quenches. Never quenches. I listened to the news last night, and it told us about an old building across the water that has been up for years and centuries. And it says it's taken so long to put the fire out. And people were nearly crying over a building that was on fire. Let me tell you, my friend. Isn't it amazing that people will stand and they'll cry over a building on fire? And they'll never shed a tear over loved ones in hell on fire? And the difference is this, friend. The fire was put out with the building. But the fire that the unconverted's going to will never go out. It's forever and ever and ever. It's the just reward of man's unrepentant sin. For the word of God says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Or as James tells us, sin when it is finished. bringeth forth death. Now, I ask you this question tonight, if you're unsaved in this meeting. Have you ever thought for one moment the price you'll pay for your life of sin? Or do you think that you're the one that's getting away? Do you think that when God said the wages of sin's death, that's for everybody else but you? That somehow you will escape the judgment of God. The word of God says, prepare to meet thy God. Yes, there's one day you will stand before God, friend. But I want to tell you, at that throne of judgment, you will find out the wages of your sin is eternal separation from God. For the word of God says, then shall I say unto them, sinner, I never knew you. Depart from me, you cursed. Into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And see if the Lord's return, friend, there's not one in this meeting will miss that appointment with death, because the word of God says we all must needs die and be as water spilt upon a ground that can't be gathered up again. And friend, there's one of two ways that you'll die. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 8, ye shall die in your sins. He says, where I am, you can't come. Or John says in Revelation chapter 14, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Friend, which one's you? Which one's you? Will you die in your sin? Or will you die in the Lord? You send me preaching, but listen, that's far away. Did you hear the news this week? Did you hear the news about the man that was walking in Lima Valley? In the full bloom of health? Where is he tonight? Eternity. Knocked down. Left a family behind. A young man. The full bloom of health. There was no sickness there. There was no disease there. The doctor didn't bring him in and say, listen, do you know you've got cancer? You've only a short while to live. No, my friend. The word of God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. This night could be your last night. This night in this meeting could be your last meeting. But that's somebody else, isn't it? You could die tonight. And you'll either die in your sin or you'll die in the Lord. And if you die in your sin, you'll go to hell. And if you die in the Lord, you'll go to be with Christ, which is far better. Yes, why do we need to be saved? Because your sin separates between you and God. But then the question is this. How did God provide salvation? How does God provide? If I need to be saved from my sin, how does God provide salvation for a sinner like me? And the Bible tells us, we read about it tonight. Listen, God sent his Son into this world that the world through him might be saved. John's Gospel, chapter 6, the wages of sin is death. But. Hallelujah didn't stop there. It says, but the gift of God. Listen, wages you work for are gifts given. The gift of God is eternal life. How do we get it? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's through Jesus. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 it says, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And friend, that is how that God provides salvation. God provided salvation for lost and guilty, vile, hell-deserving sinners by the gift of His Son and sending Him into this world to be the sin-bearer. To die in your guilty room instead. No, God does not overlook sin. And God will not overlook sin, friend. Sin has got to be paid for. And God give the darling son, His darling son of His bosom. And He sent him down into the sin-cursed scene of time that you and I can receive. Let me tell you, my friend, the salvation of my soul was not an afterthought with God. I was reading a verse this morning to the folks in Ballyclare. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, turn your Bible there, verse number 9. And this is what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 9. Who hath saved us? That good? Well, that starts good. Who hath saved us? And He hath called us with an holy calling. Listen, mark this. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. So our salvation wasn't an afterthought. Before that God ever formed this world, friend, we're in the heart of God. And God purposed. But notice how He purposed it. He purposed it in grace. It says, listen, not according to our works. And if you're here tonight and you think that somehow that you'll work your way to heaven, friend, let me tell you this. You're defying God's word. And you will not defy God and prosper. You will not get through the pearly gates of heaven by your own works. It says, not according to works. What works? Our works. Oh, yes, it was according to our work. It was the work of Christ. We are saved because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. He says, who has saved us? Thank God, listen. We sang the hymn tonight a few moments ago. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior. Listen, who has saved us? Our God, the power of God who has saved us. And called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His purpose and grace. And God purposed in grace, way back in eternity, to save a people from self. That's amazing grace. That's the amazing grace of God, friends. Listen, how did God provide salvation? By overlooking our sin? No. Yes, God looked at our sin. And I'll tell you something else. What happened on the cross of Calvary for a sinner like me? My sin was transferred to Christ. And the Bible says, He bare in His own body in the tree, He bare my sin. And what did God do? God unsheathed the sword of His divine justice as the Savior became the sin bearer, my substitute. And God drew that sword of His justice and He plunged it into the bosom of His Son. And Jesus Christ, God's Son, died because the wages of sin was death. He died in my guilty room instead. And that's why I cannot go to hell, friend. And that's why the devil will never be able to take me there. Oh yes, he may trouble me in the way to heaven. He may trample me in the ground. He may abuse the child of God. But thank God, he will never take the child of God to hell. Why? Because Christ has paid the supreme sacrifice and the full penalty. He paid it all upon the cross of Calvary. You hear preachers talking about somehow that Christ put down the down payment and we have got to pay the rest of it on the road to glory. I want to tell you, that's rubbish. The only way to heaven is through the finished work of Jesus Christ and the precious blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary. The only power to take away your sin, my friend, tonight, it's not the waters of baptism. It's not sitting, my friend, at some communion table. It's coming by faith to the cross and seeing in Christ the only Savior. The only hope of redemption is in Christ alone. He gave his Son a ransom for us. Yes, and he commends his love towards us. Even that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 verse 9 says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. How does this happen? That's the last two words. Through him. Through him. Through him. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And friend, let me tell you tonight, the only hope of salvation for your soul is through Christ. Through Christ. So, who needs saved? We all do. Why do we need saved? Because of our sin. And the separation from God that our sin brings. How does God provide salvation? How did he do it? He provided it in his Son. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Why or what do we do to receive salvation? What do we do to receive it? Ephesians 2 verse 8. By grace are you saved through faith. Through faith. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it says this. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How do I get saved? Listen, whosoever shall call. I call upon the Lord. I believe by faith. I reach out the hand of faith. And I rest upon God's word. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me just, before we finish tonight, there's an important thing here. Whenever the Philippian jailer asked the question, what must I do to be saved? In Acts chapter 16. The answer was given, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's not only believe in, it's believe on. And I'll tell you the difference. You see, friend, there are many ungodly people, and they believe in Jesus. They believe that Jesus came. They go to church just like you do tonight. They go to their church every Sunday. You say, do you believe in Jesus? Yes, I do. I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world. I believe in Jesus Christ. Then he died and he rose again. I believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, they believe in him. Let me go further. The Bible says the devil believes and trembles. You could have a mental belief, friend, in believing in and never be saved. It says believe on. You say, what's the difference? Well, let me give you an illustration. Many years ago in the mountains of Colorado, there were silver mines. And you could come to the place where the miners went down to their work by means of a rope and a windlass. That was the revolving cylinder in which the rope was wound, used for raising and lowering, or raising and also lowering by hand or steam power down into the mines. And so the rope and the windlass and a bucket. And those years ago, the miners would step into the bucket. And the bucket would be lowered by the means of the rope and the windlass to their daily tasks. Now, you can imagine a man coming to the verge of the mines and examining the windlass. You could see him untwisting the rope. You could see him testing the bucket and just examining it. And then he steps back and he says, yes, I believe that they can do the job. I believe they can do the job. The windlass is strong. The rope's perfect. The bucket's safe. Friend, that's believing in. Ah, but hold on. He then turns and he walks away. What's missing? What's missing? You see, whenever the man lays hold upon the rope with his hands, and the miner then steps into the bucket, and he trusts himself to the rope and the bucket and the windlass to be lowered into the mine, let me tell you, that's not believing in, that's believing on. He puts his whole weight on it. That's not simply a mental assent. That is truly believing on. And the word believe on, it's resting your whole weight on what Jesus Christ did at the cross of Calvary. That Jesus Christ is not a Savior. He's the only Savior. And you're resting upon what He did for you to get to heaven. What are you trusting in tonight? What are you resting on tonight? The Word of God says, as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Very quickly, when can I be saved? The answer is given in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. See, and I can't promise that you'll be saved tomorrow. The devil says, you know, just as Felix said, go thy way for this time. When I've got a convenient season, I'll call for thee. Friend, let me tell you, you search the scriptures, you'll never find Felix's more convenient season. Do you know when his convenient season was? That day. Agrippa said to Paul, and Paul pleads with his precious soul for salvation of Agrippa's precious soul, not the saving of Paul's body. and saving him from death. No. And Paul gave his testimony and preached for the soul salvation of Agrippa. And Agrippa said to Paul, he says, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Friend, search the scriptures. And yet that's as far as he went. He never took any step further. And if you and I could put our ear to the trapdoor of hell tonight, you could hear the words of a king that once had the opportunity of God to save. And he cries, almost cannot avail. Almost! It's sure to feel sad, sad. My bitter wheel, almost. Almost, but I'm lost. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Let me finish tonight. What's the result of it all? Thank God I'm saved. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You don't have to fear the judgment, friend. But thank God the judge is your friend. The account's settled. The record's clear. And there's therefore now no condemnation to us who are in. Here's the secret again. Us who are in Christ Jesus. That's where salvation's found. It's in Christ. In Christ. Listen, in Christ alone. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, height, depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's neither condemnation nor separation. And it's all because of Jesus. This I close. A gentleman was driving his car through a town in Renfrewshire, Scotland. He stopped to ask a road worker the way to Glasgow. The road worker gave him very clear instructions, explicit directions, how to get to Glasgow. And just as the man was about to leave, the road worker said to the man in the car, he said, sir, excuse me, sir, but can I ask you a question? You now know the way to Glasgow. But, sir, do you know the way to heaven? The man behind the wheel says, no, I don't. And the road worker said, sir, I do. I know not only the road to Glasgow, I've given you that, but here's the road to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The man thanked the road worker as he witnessed to him, and he drove to Glasgow. And on his return to London, that man was involved in an accident. He's taken to hospital. He's given the opportunity to make his arrangements concerning his earthly affairs. And then the man died. 10 days later, two young men wearing black ties and deep mourning arrived in the town where the road worker lived. They looked and asked for this road worker, and they found out who he was, and they found him at his home. And they said this, "Sir, Father commissioned us to take the journey after his funeral to thank you for pointing him not only the way to Glasgow, but the way to heaven." Friend, tonight let me tell you, with all my heart I'd love to point you the way to heaven. The answer is Jesus. Don't miss him tonight. Don't miss Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word this evening. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou will write thy word upon the hearts of those that are gathered here. We think of any in this meeting tonight that are not saved. Oh my God, I pray, let them not go home unsaved. Many a man has sat in a meeting like this and said, "I'll get saved, but not tonight." And yet, our God, it was their last opportunity. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, I pray that thou will give grace. We think of all the plans that maybe we have made for this incoming week. There's not one of us know, no matter what age we are. There's not one of us know how many will fulfill. Eternity. Eternity. Where will you be in eternity? As every head is bowed and eyes closed, then the meeting will be open in a moment. Is there someone in this meeting you say, "Preacher, before God, God has shown me tonight that I need to be saved, and I'm not. Well, God showed me I need to be. Preacher, would you show me the way?" Will you come to him, friend? Come as a sinner. Come as a sinner to Jesus. Their heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If there's a man, a woman, young person in this meeting, upstairs or downstairs, you say, "Preacher, I'd love to know God's salvation. Be sure I'm saved." Maybe there's a backslider. Once you walked with God and you're away from him, friend, and you know it, and you're miserable. Because if you've really saved and you're not walking with God, my friend, then you will be miserable. And if you're not miserable, then the question is, will you ever see it? Word of God says, make your calling election sure. And as every head is bowed and eyes are closed, if there's one tonight, you say, "Preacher, point me to Christ." Would you lift that hand above your head and I'll see it? Just indicate that desire. Friend, don't miss the Lord tonight. He's passing this way. Don't miss him. Will you be saved? Will you be saved? We're here to help you. I'd like to speak to us, friend. Come and speak to me. Immediately the service is over. That's the most important thing. We'll lead you to Christ. Heavenly Father, separate us with your blessing. Let thy word in our hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.